We return to 1 Samuel chapter 6. And you're with the story so far. Hannah has given birth to Samuel. Samuel is growing up and he is intended by God to be a good priest to replace the bad priests who have misguided and misled the nation, the whole nation. Eli and his sons Hophni and Phinehas, they are now dead, and the sons died in a battle with the Philistines, Israel with the Philistines, in which the Ark of the Covenant had been taken out as a kind of good luck talisman, but it didn't work, of course, because God is not some kind of mascot. The Philistines captured the Ark, and then they had real problems, because not knowing the fact that the Ark was the very emblem of God's glory and rule and presence on earth, they misguidedly handled it and mishandled it, and as a result suffered greatly. So they want to get rid of it now, and that's what we read about in chapter 6, how they send it back to Israel on this cart with these cows that have never been yoked. And then the men of Beth Shemesh, who are just across the border from the Philistines, look into the ark. Silly men, should have known better. And they too, 70 of them, die. Well, it's all about listening to God, really. That's why we're just singing about listening to God. Do you listen to God, or do you just try and do things your own way? Last week I was reading about a man who was bored. And he had a little daughter, and her jigsaw was sitting in front of him. And so he emptied the pieces of his daughter's jigsaw out and began to attempt to do his daughter's jigsaw. Well, there were only 10 pieces in the jigsaw. But try as the man might, he couldn't do the 10-piece jigsaw. He checked the box. It said 10-piece jigsaw. So it wasn't like there were any pieces missing. Why couldn't he do it? Eventually, he thought he'd better have a look at the box and read the instructions. And the instructions said it was a double-sided jigsaw. There was pictures both in the back and the front. So half the pieces were at the back and half the pieces were at the front that he had in front of him. No wonder he couldn't do the jigsaw. But of course, like many people, he didn't think he needed instructions. And he didn't think he needed to follow instructions. He thought he could work out how to do it himself. And how many of us have done that when it comes to new gadgets, new appliances? How many of us have shrunk the clothes or burnt foods or damaged appliances or got very frustrated or very angry, lost our temper, lost money, all because we didn't read the instructions? How many of us have done that? We thought we could dispense with the manufacturer's wisdom. Well, the same is true about life. You know, if you think about it, I think most people imagine that life is something they can work out for themselves. They think of it like a 10-piece jigsaw. It can't be that difficult. And so they try and get through life without thinking about what the manufacturer might have intended, without thinking about how the Creator might have meant it to work. And so they muddle along and get themselves in a real pickle, just like the Philistines and the Israelites do in this chapter here. They don't listen to God's instructions, and they try and fix things and do things themselves. Now, this is not an Old Testament thing just, or simply a modern thing. We think about the New Testament, the two men after Jesus was crucified on the road to Emmaus, and they're all sad because Jesus is dead, and Jesus comes alongside them. Now, is Jesus sympathetic to them? Does Jesus say, "They're there now, it'll be all right"? No, he doesn't. He says, "You foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written." Because the prophets, Jesus said, didn't they say that the Christ must suffer and rise on the third day? In other words, he says, you men should have read the Bible. You should have read what the prophets said. if you'd listened, you wouldn't be sad just now. You'd be waiting for the resurrection. And here I am. I'm risen. God is speaking to us. And we have the Bible. We have preaching. We have explanation of it from creche through Sunday school and Bible class as we grow up. And therefore, we have the opportunity to listen and to understand what the Maker's instructions are for life. But today I want to look at this passage and see what happens if you don't listen. Because that's really what it's all about. It's about people trying to deal with God without actually listening to God. And there are four things that we can pick up on, four very simple things that happen when you or when I don't listen to God. Four things happen according to this passage. The first thing that happens is we try to fix our relationship with God ourselves. Or to use technical language, we try to make atonement for ourselves. And that's what happens at the beginning of the story. These Philistines, interestingly, in verse 6 of chapter 6, they know about the story of Israel's history. That's very interesting, isn't it? This is about 300 years after the Exodus. They know what happened. They know the history of their neighbours. And how Pharaoh hardened his heart and wouldn't let the Israelites go. Well, they know about that. If only they'd actually thought about it, though. Because written into that history, there was, of course, the incident with the golden calf and how God clearly did not want people worshipping things that were made, like Dagon, the god of the Philistines we saw last time, who falls on his face. God didn't want that. Didn't want people worshipping things that really aren't gods at all, because he loves us too much to let us want to do that sort of thing. And the Philistines, if they just thought about the history of Israel, they would have realised they'd have got on a lot better without Dagon and all the other gods. But instead of listening to Israel's history and thinking about what they knew of God's dealings with his people, they turned to their own priests in verse 2. The Philistines called for their priests and diviners, and they said, "What will we do? The ark is causing havoc in our country. People are dying of some kind of plague. They're getting tumours. Rats are infesting the land. It looks like some sort of bubonic plague. What will we do?" And the answer they get is absolutely bizarre. They're told in verse 3 by the priests, "You better send a guilt offering back." What guilt offering? Verse 4. "Well, how about making 5 gold tumours and 5 gold rats?" It always makes me laugh when I think of that. Making 5 gold tumours and 5... Tell you what, that'll fix things. Yahweh will be so pleased to get his 5 gold tumours and his 5 gold rats. Isn't that hilarious? You need a sense of humour to appreciate just how off the mark they are. Imagine thinking that the God who created the universe is going to be happy receiving a gift of 5 gold tumours and 5 gold rats. Isn't that a bizarre idea? They should have gone to Specsavers. You know, they're just so off the mark. They should have melted Dagon down and turned to Yahweh, the God of Israel. Because he clearly is a real God. And he clearly is a powerful God. And yet, of course, it's not just something that happened 3,000 years ago. People are doing it all the time, trying to make atonement in their own fashion. How many of us here have tried to offer God our gold tumours? How many of us here have thought, "Well, if I do this for God, it'll sort things. I've been a bad girl, I've been a bad boy, so if I offer God something that I've done, something I've made, then it'll fix things." That's what happens when we don't listen to God. But the reality is, of course, do we really think that our sins can be dealt with a gift of 5 gold tumours? Do we really think that our sins can be dealt with with our religion, whatever it is, with our offerings in the church plate, or with our trying to patch up when we've been bad and sort things out and be extra good and say extra long prayers or whatever. Do we really think that works when God has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, the glorious Son of God, is the atonement? He's the one who's made the right offering. So if we're going to come to God and if we're going to fix things with God, let us never, ever, ever try to offer God 5 gold tumours and 5 rats or anything else. The only offering is Jesus. Well, the Philistines get that wrong because they're not listening. The second thing that we do, if we're not listening to God and if we're trying to do the jigsaw of life without reading the instructions, is that we cling to our religion and we can't hear God. We cling to our religion, but God's speaking to us and we can't hear Him. Now, it must have been a pretty horrible thing to be a Philistine worshipping this Dagon. It wasn't nice. Imagine being a Philistine, growing up with this horrible god, this horrible metal god in his temple with his priests carrying out their sacrifices and fearing this god thing and trying to obey the priests. And whenever things went wrong, you seek comfort from this metal god thing, and you have to make all kinds of offerings and sacrifices for this metal god. It doesn't even really exist at all. And is actually just, if anything, an instrument in the hands of demonic forces. It's dark, it's horrible, it's degrading. The whole worship of Dagon was something appalling. Many people in our world today are doing the same thing. It's a horrible, degrading thing to be worshipping idols. But God loved them. Did you notice how merciful God was in the story? Because they put God to the test. They say to God, well, if you really are the one who's afflicting us, then here's a challenge. We will take 2 cows that have never been yoked, so they're not going to be able to pull a cart because they don't even know how to. They've never been yoked. We're going to take their calves away from them, so they're not going to want to leave the calves, so they're not going to want to leave our country. We're going to yoke them to a cart, and we're going to put the ark on the cart. And if those cows walk 10 miles from Ekron, where they are, to Beth Shemesh, 10 miles east, that is, roughly, along this rickety road to Beth Shemesh, then we'll know that it was you, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who afflicted us because we captured the ark and didn't handle it right. That's a pretty big, tall order. Now, of course, you know fine, there isn't a chance in a trillion that this is going to happen, that this challenge they've given to the Lord is actually going to be met in any way, is it? Because how are these cows going to do this? It's totally contrary to their nature to leave their calves. They don't know how to pull out or how to be yoked together. They've never done it. And we read that they nevertheless went, in verse 12, straight towards Beth Shemesh, keeping the road, lowing all the way. In other words, it was against their inclination and nature. They were lowing and lowing. I remember just after we moved to Alness, we were living right next to a farm, and just before we'd moved there, there had been a fire at the farm, and a great number of livestock had perished in the fire, and those calves and cows, and those that had survived, they would be lowing all day. When we moved, cows were mooing and lowing all day. That's what this reminds me of, because they'd lost their calves and they were mourning them. And yet, so these cows are mourning, they're going away from their calves, but they still go because the Lord is taking them. In other words, He's letting the Philistines challenge Him, and He's rising to the challenge because He wants to speak to them in a way they'll understand. And they do understand. Verse 16, the 5 rulers of the Philistines saw all this and returned that same day to Ekron. And the challenge was, verse 9, if the cart goes up to its own territory towards Beth Shemesh, then the Lord has brought this great disaster on us. So they knew that Yahweh had brought the disaster. There was no question about it in their minds. They knew that God has spoken through this very unusual way. And so what do? Do they say, right, Dagon is no god, Yahweh is the true God, it's time to turn to him? No, they don't. They cling to their religion. They just say, well, we're glad that ordeal was over. We're glad that's passed. We're glad to be rid of the ark. Let's get back to worshipping Dagon, even though they know Dagon is nothing. I wonder, has God in our lives afflicted us like he afflicted the Philistines through the ark, and we've just clung to religion? We've not actually sought Jesus. We've not actually sought to listen to what God says in a situation where we're suffering or where we're ill or whatever. But we've just kept trying to do the jigsaw of life without actually reading the instructions. We need Jesus in our lives. And if we haven't got Jesus in our lives, God is speaking to us. He's speaking to you right now. And he's spoken to you through difficult times, through good times. And he doesn't want us just to cling to our little bit of religion. He wants us to know his son, Jesus Christ. He wants these Philistines to know his mercy. But they still go back to worshipping that which is nothing. Well, that's what happens if you don't listen to God. The third thing that happens is you're careless in your dealing with God. Because once the ark gets back to Israelite territory and it comes to Beth Shemesh, you think, well, things will go well now, because we read that verse 15, there were Levites there and they take the ark and they take charge. Now you think, this is good. The Levites should know what to do with the ark, because they've been given very clear instructions. And you can read back in the book of Numbers, for example. Numbers chapter 4 spells it out. Only the high priest and his family are allowed even to see the ark. So the Levites should have known straight away, we get hold of the ark, we cover it. We cover it so that no one can see it. Here's what it says, Numbers 4:20. The Levites, not any Levites other than Aaron's sons, the descendants of Aaron, the high priests. It says, none of them must go in to look at the holy things, even for a moment, or they will die. Now the Levites should have known this. It says that so many times in the Levitical instructions about how to handle the ark. But instead, not only do they not cover the ark, but they let some of the guys from Beth Shemesh lift the cover off the ark and have a wee peek inside at the manna in the pot and there's two tables of stone and Aaron's rod that budded. So now we look inside and they die. 70 of them. Verse 19. Why? Because they didn't listen to God. God shouldn't have surprised. It wasn't a surprise that God did that, because he told them time and time again. And if God warns us about something and we don't listen, and then he carries out what he warned us that he would do, we can't blame him. If God says there is judgment to come, and we say, not bothering with that, and we carry on our lives, then when judgment comes, we can't blame him. And if we're careless in our dealings with God, like the Israelites are here, because we haven't listened to God, we can't blame God when he's told us. It's just that we haven't listened. So we ourselves should be careful about how we treat the ark of God, or in our case, how we treat Jesus Christ. Because God has spoken to us in his word about him. And if we leave him out of our lives, then we know that we're doing something that will incur penalty, because we will carry our sins. If we haven't got Jesus to carry them, then God is saying we will carry them. So we must listen to God. This is what this is telling us about. The final thing in this story is that if we don't listen to God, well, when God doesn't do what we want him to do, we tend to go in the huff And that's just what happens. When the 70 die in verse 19, the rest of them don't say, "Oh, we've done the wrong thing. What should we have done? And ask the Levites, "What should we have done?" And they would say, "Well, actually, it does say in Numbers 4 that you mustn't look at the ark or look in it. Treat it as holy." They didn't do that. Instead, they went in the huff. They said, "Oh, let's get rid of this ark." Verse 20, "To whom will the ark go up from here?" They want rid of it straight away, and they're in the huff with God. Well, again, how many people in our community today even are not here worshipping with us or in other fellowships worshipping today because they're actually in the huff with God? That's what happens. People think, "Well, God should do this and God should do that, and I expect God to treat my family in this way, and I expect my work to work out like this, and I expect my life to pan out like this, and this is how God should do it." And then it doesn't happen like that. Things go wrong and things turn out badly, and maybe someone suffers, someone dies even. And yes, we don't deny the pain of that, but we've put words in God's mouth. We've made God something that He's not. Instead, we should turn to God and say, "Well, what do you say about life? What should we expect from life? What should we expect from you in our lives?" And seek His mercy. Not go in the huff when things don't work out as we think they should. So today, if we are going through life and trying to figure out the jigsaw of life, put it all together, as we all are, trying to figure out the jigsaw of religion as well. Maybe what we need to do is stop trying to figure it out ourselves and listen instead to God. Just read the book and listen to the preaching and do what God is saying to us out of His word. Not what we'd like Him to say, but what He is saying. The bottom line is that in this world there is sin. People are alienated from God because of sin. And because of sin, we need a way of getting right with God. We can't work that way. No 5 gold tumours are going to fix it. Not sending the ark away is going to fix it. Not any of our religion or anything that we'll offer or anything we'll do as a fix will work. Only Jesus Christ. He is God's mercifully provided sacrifice for sin. And we must listen to God and try and respond with faith and trust and with His help and receive His Saviour and live under His blessing and in His light. And then we will know His grace in our lives. And that's what happens in the next chapter. When the men of Kirjath-Jearim get the ark, they listen to God. And God blesses them as a result. Anyway, let's close our worship this morning. Psalm 85 in the Scottish Psalter, Black Psalm Book. And we'll sing from Psalm 85, from verse 6 to verse 13 of the Psalms. Psalm 65, verse 6 to 13. And verse 8 says, I hope this is our determination this morning, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." I'll hear, I'll listen, and I'll respond. And if we fear Him and treat Him seriously, His salvation will be near to us. Verse 6 to 13, Psalm 85, let's stand to sing.
I'll hear what God will. Go in peace, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, rest upon and remain with each one of you, now and forevermore. Amen.